on.
Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Policy wonks who are concerned with the national budget seem to be in two distinct camps. Those who believe that the key to rejuvenating the economy is to infuse it with financial stimuli from the federal government, and those who believe that deep cuts in spending, including such entitlement programs as Medicare and Social Security, are necessary. A new student organization at MTSU is devoted to urging support for debt reduction. It's called MTSU Kicks Back, a chapter of the national group known as the CAN Kicks Back. Its chapter leader is Ryan Ward, and we'll discuss the debt after these frugal words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are a few of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. The MTSU Office of Institutional Effectiveness, Planning, and Research is conducting an advising survey through the end of April. President Sidney A. McPhee requested the survey to continue the university's efforts to help students earn a college degree. MTSU student nurses will take medical supplies with them to Los Robles, Guatemala, May 18th through 26th to serve the medically needy. The supplies will include over-the-counter pain relievers, gastrointestinal medications, and prenatal and children's vitamins. And finally, the anatomy of pop-ups, structure, and design is on display in the special collections area on the fourth floor of the James E. Walker Library. For this exhibit, 31 titles have been pulled out of the library's collection of over 400 examples of movable and pop-up books, many of which date to the 19th century. And for MTSU News Anytime, go to MTSUnews.com.
Ryan, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
President Obama, as you know, has proposed a $3.77 trillion 10-year spending plan. With nearly $250 billion in new spending, nearly $800 billion in new taxes. However, it also includes more than $1 trillion in cuts from various federal programs, including Social Security. What do you think of this approach?
We were pleased to see his attempts at a bipartisan-type effort that asked for compromises on both sides, and we're encouraged by that. The debt-to-GDP ratio for his plan is still a little too high for our liking, but we think it's a good place for them to start making meaningful compromise.
Somewhere in the 70 percentile around there, the debt-to-GDP ratio, isn't it?
Yes, it's right at 70%.
What kind of impact do you think that the across-the-board automatic cuts that have taken place during the sequester, some $1.2 trillion, have had on the economy so far?
We believe that it was bad policy just because it was across-the-board spending cuts. It wasn't thought out, but it was such a small amount, it doesn't do much to help us on this debt track that we're currently on.
Why do you think that it's such a sticky wicket, such a political hot potato to approach the issue of debt reduction, especially in an election year, which this is not, but people from the House come up every 2 years and the senators come up every 6 years?
Well, it just goes back to what you said about there's one side and there's the other side, and nobody wants to really talk about the political reality that in order for something to beneficially be accomplished, they both have to give in a little. Politicians obviously get elected based on how happy their constituents are, and so if one side's not going to give in constituent-wise and the other side's not, you know, it's just economically beneficial to support what their constituency would suggest rather than doing the best thing for our country.
Does the CAN Kicks Back lean more toward debt reduction, or does it suggest a middle-of-the-road approach?
Yeah, a middle-of-the-road. We base a lot of our thoughts off of the original Simpson-Bowles Commission back in 2010, which was a bipartisan commission that took care of entitlements, which are unsustainable currently, and some other major things. We encourage pro-growth tax reform and entitlement reduction.
What does pro-growth tax reform mean to you? Are we talking about capital gains tax reduction, or are you talking about some other types of reform?
We think everything should be on the table and that we can come to a politically viable solution together, but I think it would include maybe closing some loopholes and some other things. The tax code is, as we know, ineffective to some degree in certain areas. So I think if we were to reform it, it could definitely be beneficial.
the Obama plan seems to be the kind of, well, it seems to be a sort of a gamble in that they're basing it on the premise that the economy will grow, because in the Obama plan, the debt would still grow from $16.8 billion to $25 trillion, but it would fall to 73% of GDP by 2023 if it works. So is that a little precarious for your taste?
Well, we believe that there needs to be a plan that would reduce the deficit by $2.4 trillion over the next 10 years in order to put us on a downward spiral of our national debt and put us in a good economic situation. So we think there needs to be a little bit more done.
Let's look at it from a micro picture as well as a macro picture. Most consumers in this country are in some sort of state of debt, even if they've paid off everything except their home mortgage, which is the biggie for most families. Why is debt reduction so important when it seems almost necessary anymore for the middle class even to be in some sort of debt posture just to be able to make ends meet, let alone to keep up a certain level of status?
And that's true. However, when you're budgeting your bills, I mean, you have to pay your debts, and we've been on a both parties, when they're in office, have taken this approach that there's enough money just to keep borrowing and we'll just pay for what we want, whereas you would have to, you know, really budget for that. So we just think that the government has taken it to an extreme, and so therefore it's just, yeah, unsustainable.
What do you and the other collegiate members of the CAN Kicks Back chapters intend to do to drive home your point about debt reduction?
Well, we plan to go to town halls and just show that we're there and that we do have a voice and that we will vote in these elections that are coming up because these issues affect us directly and our futures. We plan on having a few things like sending postcards to our representatives and just staying in touch and getting involved in the political process.
How did the MTSU chapter get started?
Well, I was actually watching TV, and Nick Troiano, who's the co-founder of the CAN Kicks Back and the director of the field team, was on the TV doing an interview. And I was in this place in my life where I was just like, I don't know why no one else seems to care about this issue. It seems important to me from my understanding, and it just showed me that nationally there are people that are like me, and so I can start one too. And they were very, very supportive when I started it.
The position seems to be that young people, millennials, have the most to lose with a high national debt because it's going to be handed down to you to pay as you enter your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your most productive working years. And if you don't pay it off, you'll be saddled with it in your sunset years when you're on fixed incomes. Is that basically it?
That's right. We don't even care necessarily as much about the fact that we're concerned about having Social Security when we retire or Medicare. Yes, we like those things, and those are important, but it will directly affect us with our job opportunities when we get out, as we've spent time in college trying to better ourselves and, you know, paying for home mortgages. It touches everything in the economy, and so we, yes, have the most to lose because we'll be here the longest.
Do you feel that Generation X and the baby boomers and the older generations have sort of handed you a raw deal or mismanaged the country?
There's a little bit of feeling of that. That's why we also want to get involved and just make sure that any plan is generationally balanced and that we have a seat at the table, because my grandparents are not mean to me. They care about my future, you know. But we have to show that we care and we're involved, and we want to make sure we're getting a good deal out of this as well.
We'll be back with more on MTSU on the Record in just a moment.
MTSU's Jewish and Holocaust Studies minor offers undergraduate students a chance to study the culture and religion of the Jewish people and the Holocaust in an interdisciplinary program. Studies include history and culture, theology and philosophy, and the arts and social sciences. Courses tackle vital topics central to local and global awareness, including multiculturalism and the meanings of diversity, religious tolerance, and genocide. For the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Ryan Ward, who is the president of the MTSU chapter of the CAN Kicks Back, called MTSU Kicks Back, which is devoted to awareness of the national debt and pushing for debt reduction. How do you make your point vociferously and strenuously about debt reduction if at the same time you want to take a middle course and not go to either extreme.
Well, for Republicans, that would look like comprehensive tax reform to raise additional revenue. And for Democrats, that means addressing the true drivers of our debt through fundamental entitlement reform. Both sides need to realize that the status quo is the worst option and not the other party.
I was watching Real Time with Bill Maher the other night, and they ran a videotape of average men and women being interviewed on the street about, is the debt too high? Yes. Do you think spending cuts ought to be made? Yes. Where do you want to cut? I don't know. What? Do you want to cut national defense? No. Do you want to cut Medicare? No. Do you want to cut food stamps? No. They couldn't come up with a specific area where they thought cuts ought to be made. How do you address that problem?
We agree that, I mean, it's going to be painful. I mean, we've just put ourselves in a position where it's going to be painful to some degree. But if we came together and both sides gave in a little, it's not as bad as, ha-ha, I won, or anything like that. But it's true that right now a lot of the cuts in spending that have occurred have been in non-defense discretionary spending, which is road improvements, things that benefit us as young people and to just make our economy go. And we feel like you can only cut so much out of that. That's a small portion of the budget. The entitlements are growing. They need to be addressed. They're unsustainable. And we do need some additional revenue. So if we can find a way to make our tax system more effective, I think those are the two ways to really improve it.
Now, if you have institutionalized programs that have been in place for decades, like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, obviously you have generations of people who have become used to them and have come to expect them and have come to rely on them. How, on the assumption that you don't want to see any of the entitlement programs eliminated whole hog altogether, how do you shore them up and make them solvent? How do you make them pay for themselves, if, for lack of a better way of putting it?
Well, there have been discussions about ways to do that. If it's raising the retirement age, if that's going to help, then I don't see anything wrong with that necessarily. We live longer than we used to, and there's lots of options on the table. We feel like if we were to just sit down and hack out a deal, it's going to be really, really good.
Well, so far, the Democrats and the Republicans do not seem willing to shake hands and say kumbaya. There still seems to be a great deal of partisan rhetoric floating around, and President Obama, after winning a second term, seems more determined than in the past to forge ahead, because in his first term he tried the gentlemen let us come together approach, and some liberals in his party feel that he got trounced on for all of his trouble. He offered an olive branch and soundly got threshed with it. So how do we make people come together and compromise when it appears that Congress is as volatile and as partisan as it's ever been?
The key to that is the political involvement factor. And if you get in and you tell your representatives, hey, we're the fastest growing electorate bloc in our generation, because more people are retiring, starting to not vote as much, we're growing and becoming active members of society. If we get in and say, hey, for our sake, we want you to come together, you know, forget that side, forget this side. I understand that's how you made your living to start with, but we really need this fixed because it's going to affect us.
Do you think that young people, young voters, are as diverse as the country is in older generations on the political scene, or do you think that they're more monolithic?
Well, our chapter consists of Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, and Independents, and all kinds, and I have friends on all sides of the spectrum, and we can get together and we sit around and we talk about ideas and what we'd be willing to be okay with and what we wouldn't, and if we can come together and find something, surely the people who represent us can do the same.
But you're not running for political office, are you?
That's right.
Where do you personally, not you speaking as the president of your chapter, stating an official position on behalf of the chapter, but where do you personally feel that the waste, fraud, and abuse is in the federal spending?
Well, there's all sorts of waste and fraud. We've seen that, you know. sometimes it's just bad judgments, you know, investing in someone like Solyndra. You know, I mean, you can argue either side of that, but I mean, in the end, you lost money on that deal. But to me, the key driver to why the debt keeps increasing, the deficits are going up, people will say spending, whatever. It's not paying for what you've promised. And entitlements are growing. The baby boomers are retiring. That's just driving the cost. And if you can't solve that, it's just going to fail. And then what are you going to say to the people that retire next and say, I want Social Security? Oh, sorry, we have no more money? I mean, that's not going to be good.
There are some who propose that the defense budget could be cut significantly, not only saving money by getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan, which the Obama administration is doing, gotten out of Iraq and proposes to get out of Afghanistan, but by actually closing down some bases in other parts of the world and telling the countries in which we have American bases that they need to ramp up their own defenses in order to take care of these areas. Does that strike you as a feasible idea, or would that be penny wise and pound foolish?
Well, I haven't looked into that too much, so I can't specifically say. What I have learned, I've participated with some other people at Vanderbilt and some other Middle Tennessee area schools where we talked about ways to improve our budget situation, and we do spend a lot of money on defense, even way more than the second person on the list, you know, who I don't know who that is, but if we can find some savings there, even if it's just efficiency savings, I'm all for it.
The Postal Service lost $15.9 billion last year, but they're not going to do away with Saturday mail service for the time being. Is that something you'd like to see happen?
Well, I don't know what to say. You know, UPS and FedEx have really taken over that part, that industry, and it makes sense. When have you ever been really upset with FedEx for not delivering something on time or to the wrong address? Usually they solve those solutions. But I don't think the Can Kicks Back has a specific feeling about it, but I'm open to anything that can save us money.
$15.9 billion is kind of a drop in the bucket anyway, but I can't think of any particular areas where you could make one deep, slashing, bloodletting cut and you'd make a huge difference. It's going to take several drops in the bucket, isn't it?
That's right. It's going to have to be, first of all, it's not going to be politically viable to pick something and slash it just deeply, like you're saying, because if you try to slash defense, like some people on the left would say, the right's going to just be in an uproar. And if you try to slash entitlement spending, the left's going to be in an uproar. So it's going to have to be just a commonality. Let's find a little bit here, a little bit there. We can make this work.
We'll have more on MTSU on the Record right after this.
The Army ROTC College Program at MTSU prepares students mentally, physically, and emotionally to become leaders and promotes virtues of duty, honor, country. ROTC cadets are involved in all academic disciplines, athletics, and student organizations at MTSU. Full scholarships and tuition assistance are awarded based on merit. All cadets upon graduation will serve their country as second lieutenants either in the Army, Army Reserve, or Army National Guard. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Ryan Ward, who is the head of the new MTSU student organization, MTSU Kicks Back, a chapter of the national organization, the Can Kicks Back, dedicated to encouraging people to get behind a serious effort to reduce the national debt. You're an economics major, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have any thoughts on Ben Bernanke and the Fed and how he's been handling monetary policy?
The Can Kicks Back hasn't done anything on that. I find it intriguing to just keep printing money, but that's just a personal view. It has provided low interest rates. I'm also a real estate agent, and so that's been helpful with our home buyers out there. It's just been a really good time to go buy a home. But I don't know if in the long term it's really going to help us or hurt us, or I have no idea.
The housing market has gotten a little bit better, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely on the upswing right now.
Why do you think that there hasn't been as much improvement on the unemployment rate as we would have hoped?
Well, we feel like that there is an uncertainty in the market right now due to debt and where people are going to be. You know, Congress hadn't passed a budget since I don't even know when. You know, it's just been continuing resolution, and that creates uncertainty. And my father's a small business owner. He's not going to want to grow and expand if he doesn't know what's going to happen on the economic outlook. If we're growing, then great, he'll grow with it. But he's going to go into entrenchment mode if he doesn't know what's going to happen in the economic environment.
In other words, he'll take a very personally, not politically necessarily, but personally conservative posture with his own business because he doesn't want it to roll the – he doesn't want to roll the dice as long as it's going to be a crapshoot. He wants some degree of certainty.
That's right. Entrepreneurs are already out on the ledge. You know, they've taken a lot of risk to begin with. And if there's uncertainty in the environment, they're going to stabilize and try to make sure that their risk is manageable.
There isn't really one group or one organization that really speaks for small businesses in this country, is it? I mean, the Chamber of Commerce doesn't help you guys. The Small Business Administration gives you loans, but you don't really have one organization that lobbies on your behalf, do you?
That's very true. It's a lot of just personal just emphasis and effort and finding people who are like-minded like you and want to help each other out, but not government-wise, no.
What do you hear when you speak to adults about your feelings about debt reduction? Are the adults, I speak demeaningly, I'm sorry, I'll go back and rephrase that. When you speak to older adults about debt reduction and your opinions on it and your organization's opinions on it, what do you hear? Are they in sync with you? Are they opposing you? Are they all over the map?
Most of the time, they're just excited that young people are taking interest and action for their future. You know, for a long time, people said that our generation just didn't care. You know, we're not politically active. You know, whatever it may be, we're not smart enough. We haven't been around enough. I've heard that a few times. But when I talk about just a reasonable, logical, pragmatic view of how to solve this, most of them are open and say, although I don't agree with that necessarily completely ideologically, I do agree with your premise and I would hop on board and help you figure that out.
What do our allies abroad, other nations in this global economy, think when they look at the United States as a deeply in debt debtor nation?
Well, as we had our credit downgraded, you know, it has created a less investment in the United States from outside sources. They look for places like Brazil and some other places in order to get a better return on their investment. And we used to be, you know, that was the place to be. It was safe to invest in America. And with our growing debt, it's just going to be less and less certainty. Greece obviously had their major crisis. I think they were at closer to 90, 100, 110% to GDP. We're only at 70% now. So we don't have an immediate, like, tomorrow debt crisis. Like, Greece just woke up one day and was like, oh, wow, we really put ourselves in a bad spot. But we are on a path to, by 2025, being a really, really bad spot. So why would you not want to solve it before it's essential to solve it?
Who are we going to beg? Russia, the European Union, China. We've already heard that China owns our mortgages.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. You know, I mean, it is a bad spot we're in. You know, I mean, everybody wants to beat America to some degree. You know, we are number one in most aspects. And so why would someone want to help us? You know, we go and reach down and help some of the growing and developing countries. But yeah, it's going to be hard to really ask somebody to, yeah, bail us out.
Does that kind of American exceptionalism hurt us in a way? Does our fervent belief that we are the best country in the world, and there's nothing wrong with believing that, does that blind us to our faults to the point that we're paralyzed when it comes to taking action to overcome our shortcomings, like a big national debt?
Well, I know that every generation has had their battle. You know, I mean, there was the World War II people, there was, I mean, just over and over again, there's been crisis after crisis, and everyone has always stepped up to the plate to resolve it. And I think that as this becomes more, as our movement grows and we get it out there, and the more politically active we get, I think we'll be able to solve this as well.
We'll take one more quick break, and then we'll return and wrap things up here on MTSU on the Record.
The Tennessee Early Childhood Training Alliance, or TECTA, works to improve the quality of child care in Tennessee by establishing a statewide training and professional recognition system. Through TECTA, child care providers may be eligible for free orientation training, tuition support for early childhood academic courses, and networking opportunities, as well as other services. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We've been talking with Ryan Ward, who is the head of the chapter of the Can Kicks Back here at MTSU. It's called MTSU Kicks Back. What do you aspire to do once you graduate and you have your economics degree? Do you want to go on for a master's or PhD, or do you want to go into the workforce immediately?
Well, I'm considering getting my MBA in probably finance. I currently have my real estate license. And when I graduate, I'll be able to apply for my broker's license, which would allow me to start my own realty firm. And I may do that. But I've also contemplated public office, even if it's just a small little state representative gig or something. But, yeah, the options are on the table.
Why real estate?
It just kind of fell into my hands. I was working for a home builder, and he offered to pay for my real estate courses. We were good friends, and I took him up on it, and I got affiliated with a good firm, and I'm really excited. I really enjoy it. So,
and you have your real estate license now?
Yes, I do.
How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
Oh, and when did you get your license?
In March. I was 19 at the time.
Are you associated with one of the major firms, or are you an independent?
It's with Red Realty. They're in Murfreesboro and Smyrna currently, but they started in 2006.
Commercial, residential, or both?
I do both. I have some commercial listings currently, but I'm also helping people find homes on the residential side.
Is it difficult to get older people to take you seriously when they see that their real estate agent is 20?
Yeah, the commercial side can be difficult because it's a whole nother animal. You know, I mean, those people really know their stuff, and it's just non-emotional. It's completely, let's see if the money works out. But normally, I've gotten good feedback from people who are just looking to buy homes or sell their homes. I mean, a good smile and hard work ethic, it's hard to say no to that.
Is it a good time to refinance if you already own a home?
A lot of people are saving money right now is what I've heard. If you bought a home recently, then it's not a huge drop in interest rates. But yeah, if you're in the 6% and 7% and you can get down to 3.5%, 3.25%, that's pretty good.
You've got to go for it.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, best of luck to you. And if more people want to know about MTSU Kicks Back, how do they get in contact with you or find out more information?
They can call me at 615-428-3894, or they can email us at mtsukicksback@outlook.com.
Ryan Ward, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.